from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Now let's get to Kyler Murray.
Snap to Murray, running right.
Here he goes! Touchdown!
Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin O'Connell has done tremendous work reviving some quarterbacks.
Earlier on the show, ESPN senior NBA writer Brian Windhorst, Pro Football Hall of Famer Rod Woodson. Coming up, actor John C. McGinley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. John C. McGinley is about to come out here. He's in one of the biggest hit shows that HBO Max has put out there in quite some time called Rooster, the latest Bill Lawrence show. The Bill Lawrence show Scrubs is back on Hulu and ABC. And so John C. is back in that as well. He'll be joining us in about 15 minutes time for all of that. He's a diehard Giants fan. Maybe we'll chop that up. A little Office Space, a lot of down the memory lane stuff for Oliver Stone. It's just great stuff when John C. McGinley's here and he's joining us shortly on the program. Mike Evans signing with the San Francisco 49ers. If there wasn't this whole craziness with Max Crosby between the Raiders and the Ravens, this would be story number one, essentially, for me, that Mike Evans decides to leave the Bucs and go to San Francisco and be the 49ers, as he says, final piece of the puzzle.
A team that always compete, even with the injuries last year. I think they went 13-4. I mean, I feel like they were one piece away, and I think that I'm that piece. The money was not the biggest factor for me. Like I said, it was just football and something that I can be excited about. I'm super excited. Every time I come to Levi Stadium and I see how the crowd is and I see the energy that they bring and the rich history of the San Francisco 49ers, it just excites me. So I feel like it's giving me a second wind in my career.
I mean,
okay.
So you look at this and you're like, the Rams got Davante Adams, future Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Add him to the mix. And it feels like the Niners are going to the same store, right? Future Hall of Famer store. except, you know, Adams had already left the team that he was associated with forever. He already left that team and then shopped around.
Yeah, he'd been to two teams.
Right. Wound up going to Vegas and then the Jets and then I guess shopping around and he found the Rams. So that's what's kind of shocking is that Evans decides whatever was going on in Tampa, he just was definitely not going back there without checking the market. And I guess checking the market was something he enjoyed, that endeavor, like being a free agent for the first time, where he's on the market and he's not staying put and he's not just going to run it back. I think he really seemed to enjoy it. He talked about who he spoke to and what his free agency tour kind of looked like.
Well, first off, I did my research on a lot of teams that I was looking at. I was looking at, you know, contenders, guys with good quarterbacks, obviously. So I was looking at here, Buffalo Bills, you know, teams that needed a number one wide receiver. But when I got on, I like this place. This is my number one spot on my own. And then I talked to John and Kyle, and it solidified it for me. So I've always been a fan of Kyle, like I said previously, and he just talked about how he sees me in this offense, and it just made me even happier. And it was a no-brainer, really, after I got on the phone with him.
Yeah, Shanahan's kind of a difference maker, huh? and Lynch. And at the end of the day, he chooses the Niners and Brock Purdy over the Bills and Josh Allen, which is interesting. You know, making that choice. Maybe there's weather. It's certainly, you know, I guess what, New York and California, apples to taxes, apples.
I don't know if I would have done that. I Buffalo, I think, has a easier path to win that division than San Francisco. I guess if you're looking at the AFC being a little more competitive, but I think I would have went to the Bills and Josh Allen.
One thing's for sure. I mean, make book on this. At some point, there's going to be attention paid to why Mike Evans left Tampa and what's happening in Tampa, because Tampa was ready to offer him more money and he decides to leave. I think you can make book on this. I said it the other day. I'll say it again. Someone's going to try and pin this on Baker.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, I hope not.
I think it's going to be pinned on the head coach.
The head coach? Wow.
Who was kind of on the hot seat coming out of the season, the way they finished.
It's the fact that they also had a revolving door at the offensive coordinator position.
Yeah.
Who was talking the other day about, was it Breer talking about how Parcells always talked about how sometimes veterans stunt the growth of a young player? And at the end of the day, Emeka Buka could now come to the fore in a way that he didn't over the last few weeks of last season.
Emeka Buka might have a JSN type year.
That's the idea.
You know,
that's the idea. I mean, that would obviously be the analogy that the Bucks would love to do, or at least have play out, right? But the idea that the 49ers get Evans in the same way that the Rams get Adams, the Niners need their Puka. Who's their Puka? Who's that guy?
Pretty Ricky.
Let's wait. I mean, like, they're waiting.
Got to stay healthy.
They're waiting on that.
Yeah, or it could be, look.
Or McCaffrey's their Puka.
I mean, that's
he's their offensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Just a different position, right?
But Evans was where? 12 years in the same spot. He won a ring. He did everything he could there. Maybe it was just like, man, sometimes it's
try something else.
You know, who knows?
But, I mean, not bad for Mike Evans, who now has an APY north of $20 million a year. I have this list, guys, from NFL Network Research about notable free agent signings since 1993, which is right around, you know, the free agency era, right? The new free agency era in that regard. The numbers are insane when you look at them compared to what they are today.
I love these. These are great.
It's insane.
I just got to walk down with you guys here.
The Emmitt Smith one is the one that always gets me.
Well, he's not on this list.
Oh, really? But held out, and I think he came back for like $16 million. And you're like, whoa, $16 million.
Right. That's what now less than what Barkley makes in 1 year.
Oh, he was getting for the duration of the contract.
All right. Reggie White in 1993 went from Philadelphia to Green Bay, one of the biggest name free agents of the early aughts. I mean, of the early 90s.
The best free agent signing ever.
Okay.
Can we guess?
Sure. Four-year deal worth. You want to, should we price this right?
Sure.
This thing? You know, you have to play the music.
Sure.
But go ahead. Closest without going over.
I'm not going to look it up. I'll go first this time since you always complain. I'm going to say 4 years, $14 million.
Thank you. Chris Brockman, what do you got?
We're playing prices right. I was going to say 4 for $18 million.
Close without going over. TJ Jefferson wins it. It's 4 years, $17 million.
I'm so good at this game.
I was closer.
So good at it. But you went over, and that's not how this works.
Jalen Phillips, as you know, just signed for $30 a year.
Yeah. Which player would you
want? Is it 40? Or is it 40 a year? My bad. Right? My goodness gracious. Yeah. No, $30 million a year. My bad. Yeah, you just signed for $30 million a year. Deion Sanders in 1994 went from Atlanta to San Francisco. Would you care to guess what it was?
Was that a 1 year?
Yeah, what was it?
It was a 1 year because he's just like, I'll show you, Atlanta. I'm out of here. I'm going to go ring chase, and I'm out the door, and I'm just going to take it. I will play for 1 year with San Francisco and make my bag that way.
I'll say 1 year, $10 million.
1 year, $10
million. See, I was going to say 12, but now I don't want to go over. 8.
Okay. it was, you're both over. You're both way over. This was how Deion wanted to get out of Atlanta and just show everybody what he could do on a team or just get back at Atlanta. 1 year, $1 million.
What? Come on.
Yep.
That might be the greatest deal of
all time. Saying,
and wasn't he Defensive Player of the Year and won the Super Bowl?
In 1994, he was Defensive Player of the Year and won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Maybe the greatest free agency bargain ever.
I don't think you take the maybe.
So then the next year, he leaves for Dallas. Well, you want to guess what that one was? Because this is what he did on the come. Like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to leave for Dallas.
I'm going to say $23 million in risk of not going over.
It was a seven-year deal.
I'm going to say the jersey, $21
million. 7 years, $35 million.
One again. Yes.
What?
Seven for 35.
I'm the best in the world at this game.
Yeah.
Except when it matters.
Seven.
I made it though, punk.
For 35. Alante Taylor just signed with Tennessee for $20 million a year.
I get why these old heads.
A little bit bitter.
Right? They're all like, what?
Yeah.
The what?
I get it.
But that's how Deion played it. Like, I'll show you Atlanta. I'm going to San Francisco. I'll win Defensive Player of the Year and the Super Bowl. And then I'm going to sign for 7 years, $35 million with Dallas.
I'm going to get paid.
Curtis Martin in 1998.
Hey. Oh, man, my favorite Martin.
Nice. Six-year deal, 1998. Left New England for the Jets. Christopher. Six years,
$18 million.
TJ Jefferson.
I'm going to say 6 years... $22 million.
Correct. 6 year, $36 million contract.
Oh, running backs getting paid.
Yeah. Yep. As we all know, Saquon is now making something like $20 million a year. So,
Curtis Martin, folks, is in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, indeed.
Curtis Martin was a bad
man. What did he do with the Jets? 1,000 yard rushing in 7 of 8 years.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah. And that was also one of those shots across the bow, right? Yeah. Where Parcells is like, I'm going to shop for the groceries. I'll go to my new spot and take your guy.
Yep.
And that's when the things really began to get started.
Yep.
Between the Patriots and the Jets. Rod Woodson just left us.
Oh.
Rod, what did he make to leave San Francisco for Baltimore? Four-year deal.
$24
million. TJ.
$16
million. $12 million. You're both over.
Man.
Rod Woodson.
I mean, that's kind of ridiculous.
He made three Pro Bowls with Baltimore and, of course, the greatest defense of all time that he likes to point out.
Kids, please go look up Rod stats.
Okay.
He was amazing.
Last one for you. Boilermaker, Drew Brees. Let's go quarterback.
Okay.
Quarterback.
Okay.
Signed a six-year deal with New Orleans. Don't forget, he had a shoulder injury.
Shoulder bug, yeah.
Okay, he had a shoulder injury that proved to be too difficult for Miami to overcome. And then New Orleans like, we'll take you. Six-year deal for Drew Brees, who turned out to be a first ballot Hall of Famer and a guy who resurrected, if you will, the New Orleans franchise. Anybody?
Buell. $48 million.
I was going to say 40.
6 years, $60 million. 10 per year. They got Drew Brees for 10 per year.
It's a great deal.
Drew Brees is in the Hall of Fame.
Can you believe this, man?
It's a great deal.
Brady. Brady's 2020 deal.
Oh, it was like 1 year, 25.
No, it was.
Is this the Tampa one?
Yeah, the Tampa one.
Oh, the Tampa one.
Yeah.
3 years, 75.
I'm going to go with 82.
No, you're correct on the annual. 2 years, 50.
2 years, 50. Oh.
2 years, $50 million, man. Crazy, dude. Shannon Sharp went from Denver to Baltimore in 2000, 4 years, $14 million for Shannon Sharp. Can you imagine what they'd be making right now? Crazy. Crazy money. Alec Pierce just signed for $28.5 million, one season of 1,000 yards receiving.
Oof.
Not a single Pro Bowl to his credit. Not a single one.
Shannon Sharp would be getting about $76 million then.
Hey. That's the truth right there. Albert Haynesworth, 7 years, $100 million. How'd that turn out? Okay. All he did was play 20 games for that. Good. On the opposite end of that spectrum. Let's take a break. When we come back, John C. McGinley will join us, and hopefully Michigan will finally wrap things up with Ohio State and a nail biter so I could focus. That's coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
In my line of work, I'm fortunate enough to travel quite a bit covering the biggest moments through the football season. While I'm on the road, I sometimes miss the comforts of home, which is why when I travel with my family, we always check Airbnb for places to stay. It's our home away from home, providing the comfort and safety that allows us to wind down and relax. Families like mine are looking for homes that fit their needs to make new memories in, and your home may be exactly what they're looking for. If you're looking to save up for a new addition to your house or a once-in-a-lifetime trip to see your favorite band in another country, for instance, hosting your house on Airbnb could help you reach those goals. It's easy to list your home for short trips or extended periods of time, allowing your house to earn you some extra money. Make your home work for you while you're away and enjoy the benefits of hosting on Airbnb. Your home may be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with a deal so right, it almost feels wrong. Because right now, you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid and the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. Plus, there's our bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech, or go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway sales event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. Through the, like the mental Rolodex
100%.
Of what I said and all of that business. Our radio audience just returned. John C. McGinley is in the middle of telling his story, talking to Bill Lawrence, the creator of Shrinking, Ted Lasso, and now Rooster on HBO, as well as Scrubs back in the mix, available for streaming the next day on Hulu after being on ABC on Wednesdays. You have the floor again. So you're
and Billy says, can I come out? And yeah. I'm like, 100%. This guy has impacted me more than any other adult in my adult life. And so I said, yeah, come out. And so we're in the hot house. And it's a tool shed that I culled out in 2001 when 9/11. So 2011 when Scrubs, no, the aughts, 2001.
Yeah.
When Scrubs was picked up, which means you got the rest of the season.
Yes.
Networks will stick their toe in the water and order 6 or 7 episodes. And then it's called getting the back nine.
Yes.
You got the back nine. The same weekend that my Yankees lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
And so that, and, by the way, that's when you buy a hot house.
Well, I it was a good sign. And so yes. I was damaged, and I sought recluse in the refuse in the hot house. So yes. Bill comes out. We're in there, and he goes, family, blah, 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 politics, sports, blah, blah. And he goes, before we finish, can I steal your life? And I'm, why? And give it to Cranston? What are you talking about?
Right.
Yes. And so what he meant was, I want to use you as a character in a Steve Carell show a year and a half later. And in the same sentence, he goes, but don't screw me on Scrubs. And I'm like, what universe are we in? What Scrubs? What Steve? And so in one hot house session, Billy offered me 2 primetime shows.
Jeez,
and they both realized fruition.
Wow. All right.
So yes, wow.
We'll take one at a time. Rooster, again, on HBO, it just debuted this past Sunday. Yeah. And it's got a similar feel, obviously, to all the Bill Lawrence shows, certainly the ones that are on Apple right now, Shrinking and Ted Lasso, where, you know, people are mixed up, but you're rooting for them at the same time here. And your character, I give you the floor, and how we just saw a clip. It is seemingly perfect for you, John McGinley.
So it is John McGinley. And Rooster is set on a college campus. It's an exploration of a dad's relationship with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She is a professor. I'm the president of the college.
Yes.
She's one of my faculty. Her husband has had a tryst. And so she's in trouble. She's hurt. And so Steve comes up from the Keys, where he writes romance novels called Rooster. Rooster is to his romance novels as Fabio is to romance novels.
Got it.
It's Steve jacked up looking like Fabio. And he comes up, and I fall in love with him. It's a new shiny toy. And I put him on the faculty. I need to have him, which is interesting because for 10 years on Scrubs, I kept giving Zachy the Heisman.
Yes.
I didn't want to have anything to do with him. But here, I want to eat Steve's cheeks. I want to devour him so much so that I put him on the faculty. And so now it's a dysfunctional academia call action.
And off you go.
And off you go.
And so what part of you is here in this character that you're willing to share?
I am the president of the university, and I take most of my meetings in the hothouse
okay.
and the cold plunge. And I subject Steve to that almost immediately.
Okay.
So I have him practically nude up, and that's when you tell the truth. It's the truth barrel. I would have you up to the boo any day of the week.
Let's go. Come
and
on,
find
buddy.
Your deepest, darkest. What happens in the
damn.
What happens in the sauna is that people become very uncomfortable and they lean into language to relieve themselves of their misery. And so they start to tell things that they had no intention of sharing when they came in.
Well, again, this is a Laird Hamilton idea, right? You're talking about where he's the creator.
I learned everything from Laird, right. And he had a guy named Wim Hof come over.
Understood.
And Wim is the breathing master, and so I can walk you through this,
right.
Rich Eisen.
Well, we know each other's wives, and we know each other's friends.
Gabby's the greatest
correct.
On the planet.
Yeah, and so Susie became good friends with Gabby Reese, and Gabby put me through a workout once upon a time in her pool, and I damn near drowned.
Yeah,
okay?
That's the
so,
greatest.
You know what I mean? Well,
that's the greatest.
Yeah, this is the greatest. She put. Did I ever tell you about this? She puts weights on you?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
it throws him in the pool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just Googled Wim Hof.
Yeah.
This guy is something else.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Wow. His nickname is the Iceman.
Yes.
Dutch motivational speaker.
So hot house in the ice tub.
Yes.
Okay.
I was in there about an hour ago. I'll be back there tonight at 7. My hair's not on fire for nothing.
Good man. Rooster available on HBO. Got to check it out.
Outstanding.
What's your favorite Steve Carell story you learned, or you've experienced, you're willing to share here? What do you got for me here?
I had to reintroduce myself to Steve because I took an extra role on his Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King movie just because
yes.
I admired him so much. Scrubs had been wrapped. And
Battle of the Sexes.
A big pardon?
Battle of the Sexes.
Battle of the Sexes. And I am third guy on the right. And so I told Steve, you're not going to remember this, but we've actually worked before. And, of course, he didn't remember it because
right.
why would you? But I took that film simply to be with Steve.
No kidding.
Yep. And I was third guy on the right.
Third guy on
yep.
the right. And now here you are front and center with him on this program.
It's as good as it gets. I've never seen anybody as nimble cerebrally and as agile and able to pivot and turn a joke. So, in other words, when you're on a set – you do the joke that's written, and then five guys are pitching you new ones.
Right.
And it's called turning a joke. If
right.
you can take those syllables and make them yours, you're the Mac Daddy.
And what's it like just switching to Scrubs here, being back? I mean, was it out of body when you showed up for the first time on the set? Everybody's back together. What was that like?
So up in Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
that's different. We're on a 20,000-foot soundstage
mm-hmm.
and the hospital, which was right over in Valley Village,
mm-hmm.
Over towards Burbank there for 9 years. It was recreated to the tone of the paint.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what was out of body. But if you do 200 episodes of a show, if you're lucky enough to, and you can't regenerate that, the question is, what were you doing? It was like riding a bike, man. And Bill Lawrence wrote the pilot,
mm-hmm.
so that syncopation, which is Martin Scorsese-esque that Cox has, you just fall right back into it. The only strange thing was just how fast the rhythm of the show is. You really got to go. And when you don't, you can feel you're not in it. That rhythm is, it's fast. And if it's not, you'll be on the cutting room floor.
You got a favorite line? Dr. Perry Cox, where you're like, that is my favorite line that I was able to deliver
I like that I can remember a long phrase of Latin that means broken heart syndrome, and it's tocosubo cardiomyopathy.
Mm.
I have no right remembering that because I'm not smart enough.
Right.
But for some reason, that's stuck in the clutter.
That's the line?
Broken heart syndrome.
What about
tocosubo cardiomyopathy?
But what about, you know, a button or
a
singer?
When Cox turns to Carla, Judy Reyes, my dear friend, and goes, wrong, 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 you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. That's money.
When you read it on the page, though, do you not know they want you to sing it like it's...
They didn't know they wanted me to sing it, but I sang it.
Is that how... So
that's TV history, baby. It doesn't grow on trees. You got to bring your A game.
Or are you just around like a grandfather clock one day, and you're like, you put two and two together?
It's the magic of Johnny C., Rich. I can't explain it.
Johnny C. McGinley.
It's like Felix the Cat with his bag of tricks.
I got it. Okay, I got you.
You're not old enough to remember that.
No, I remember Felix the Cat.
You're young and firm.
Dude, you said earlier, and I don't blame you for saying this, 100%, okay, that Bill Lawrence affected you more than anybody else in your adult life.
Sure.
I would have thought Oliver Stone would be that person.
I did six with Oliver. Nobody else has done six films with Oliver, mm-hmm. but that's not the big deal. But Billy's loyalty to me and circling back with, we've done three together. We did Scrubs for now it'll be 10 years. Mm-hmm. We did a three or four camera called Ground Floor over at Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And now for him to circle back with Rooster is next to my wife and my son Max and Billy Grace and Kate. No one else has impacted me that way. Not even close.
Mm.
You're right there. But
oh, stop. You're ridiculous. But I mean, so when did you meet Oliver Stone? When did that happen? For you?
Right before we did Platoon, I went in to audition for, again, Third Guy on the Right.
Mm-hmm.
John Spencer was, rest in peace, was going to play Sergeant O'Neill, and he got a Broadway play called Execution of Justice about Harvey Milk and Dan White,
mm-hmm.
and so he pulled out a Platoon, and Oliver called me, and I was doing a very tiny part in Kevin Kline's Hamlet at the Public, which was... You know, you get in that fraternity / sorority, you never leave.
Right.
And so Oliver calls me. I was living in a funeral parlor at the time on Sullivan Street.
What?
The New Chironi Funeral Parlor, five-story walk-up. LaGuardia was born there. And Oliver calls, and I don't know how you get my number, and he goes, McGinley, I want you to play the fourth lead. I'm like, dude, I'm doing Hamlet. I get the keys to the kingdom. I'm in with Joe Papp.
Yeah.
And so he goes, tell Joe that I'm doing it. Like first name basis, I'm sure. And so I go in and I ask Mr. Papp if I can go to the Philippines.
Right.
And he goes, and without burning that bridge.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, sure. We'll do Hamlet again, which was his way of going, you're okay to go.
Right.
And so as soon as I pulled out, there was a revolution in the Philippines and we were delayed about 9 months. And so I watched Hamlet open and somebody called it the most important Hamlet on these shores. And I'm sitting in the funeral parlor. Just biding my time. Cher walks in to do the one exterior in Moonstruck. And I'm like, I'm not in any of this. And so finally, we got to go to the Philippines when that revolution was quieted down a little bit. And we were there for 4 months.
Is that when you did? Because we had Charlie Sheen in here a couple of months ago. And we talked about a boot camp where everybody stayed in character and you were absolutely treating each other based on rank. It was the real deal. Were you a part of that too?
Yeah, it was about 3 weeks out in the, it's called Triple Canopy Jungle. So in other words, there's three layers of jungle and it's dark and things go wrong and you get lost and we got lost and everything that could have gone wrong in that boot camp did, but it brought everybody together. It was a genius move on Oliver's part. And so what you want to do, my friend Keith David decided that great acting, he plays King.
Yes.
He decided that great acting is when you can reduce the profundity of the lie. And what he meant was, I'm not Sergeant O'Neill, Charlie's not Chris Taylor,
mm-hmm.
But that boot camp let you get a little closer to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the trick with the camera is that, maybe he is Sergeant O'Neill. And so now the lens suffers that as great acting. Because Oliver reduced the profundity of the lie. And it's the cleanest thing I've ever heard to describe, especially in front of a lens, great acting. On stage, you can fudge it a little bit with tricks, but not in front of the lens. You have to find some way to approach what is true. And the lens is a lie detector test. And if it senses you're lying too much with some stupid accent that really doesn't belong to you, it's going to go like, wow, you're lying.
Right.
You're not anywhere near the truth.
And Wall Street was next after that?
Yeah, right. A year later, we got back from the Philippines. And I was already doing the play, Talk Radio, at the Public. So I right. was welcome back. Joe was good to his word.
You didn't have to tell him I'm leaving again to do Wall Street, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't. I told Oliver, unless right. we can work this out. And Oliver said, I'll have you done every day. We were right up Lafayette at the Woolworth building downtown, straight yeah. shot up Lafayette. And Oliver kept just later and later, Charlie and I, every night. And I like to get to half hour. When you're doing a Broadway or off-Broadway play, the actors are to be there a half hour early. It's called you're to be there at half hour. And you do a vocal warm-up and, you know, get present. Mm-hmm. And so Oliver was keeping us till so half hour at an 8 o'clock curtain is 7:30, and we kept being kept later and later and later. And finally, I showed up and the actors were at places, and I told the kid in my wardrobe, I'm like, and the first day, the stage director came over and said, John, you can't go on. I'm like, well, then call the police because I'm going on. Mm-hmm. And I did. And about 8 or 9 minutes into the play, a pin spot hits me. I'm on stage with Eric the whole time in the mm-hmm. context of the play. And I come down in one, and down in one, a lighting cue is the closest you can be to the audience in the center of the stage. And so I go down in one, a pin spot hits me. This yeah. is an actor's dream. And I tell a 7-minute story about how I met Eric Bogosian's character. About 2 minutes in, when you forget your line on stage, it's called going up. I went up. I'm getting nervous telling the story. And I'm there, and I can't see the house. When a pin spot hits yeah. you know this. You can't see anything.
Yeah.
And so I'm just looking at the white light. And it must have been fascinating for the audience to see someone dying in front of you.
Ugh.
And I breathed a few times, and all I could think about was Oliver yelling at me and Charlie and what we did the night before. I couldn't get the next line. And so I turned around and I went back to my seat. And, you know, they called the next light cue, and Eric started again. And he came to me. He's the biggest mensch of all time. And he goes, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Oliver kept me till quarter after the next night. My understudy went on, and guess what? The play was fine. But it's the first and only time I've ever gone up on stage.
Okay.
And it's the single most terrifying thing, next to losing your child for 30 seconds in the grocery store,
right?
Which
right.
every parent has done.
Right.
This is the scariest thing. Oh God, it makes me nervous telling a
exactly.
story.
Exactly. You need your cold tub.
That's how
deep you were into the Wall Street role.
Yes.
Right. And as well as going back and forth. But being a young guy in a platoon, going back and forth to this remarkable theater in New York City.
Yes.
What's it like to be in a movie with Michael Douglas at this point of your life?
I didn't have any scenes with Michael. I'm just on the trading floor.
So you didn't meet him. There was nothing. You didn't have any connection with Michael Douglas.
I met him in Looping afterwards, ever so briefly.
What about Sheen then?
Well, Charlie and I spent 2 years of our life together,
right,
in the Philippines and then in Lower Manhattan,
right.
And we both live in Malibu, and there's an inseparable bond there. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal being in those two movies, at the time and even in retrospect,
mm-hmm.
because people believe the hype too. So you get work off of those things, even though they were distinctly Oliver's pieces.
Yes,
but I was very much a peripheral character. But people believed the hype, and so that was good for a couple of dozen films.
I bet it was. No stories, you and Charlie, that you can tell?
We just memorized lines and hit our marks.
Oh, man. The Knicks and Chicks line, was that in the script?
That was Oliver's.
That was Oliver's.
Yep.
Buddy, buddy, I got Knicks and I got Chicks. That is.
Yeah, that was Oliver's.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what flavor I threw in there, but I can't remember.
Okay. God bless it.
But Oliver wants your flavor.
I bet.
He wants you to do it the way it is on the page, and then he wants your flavor, man.
And then this is another one I just want to hit you on before I let you go, man. Office Space is a classic.
Best thing about Office Space was that I got Office Space, and then, which was for nothing money wise,
right,
to go down to Austin and shoot it. And they had me there, you know, a day a week over 3 or 4 weeks. And right before I left for Austin, I got this film up in Toronto with Matthew Perry, rest in peace, and Neve Campbell. Mm-hmm. And it was a big Warner Brothers movie, and it was for a lot of cake. And so I called my neighbor, Mike Judge, who had cast me in this.
Yeah.
And I said, is there any way we consolidate 3 weeks into like 3 or 4 days?
Mm-hmm.
And he did it. And I flew down on Monday. I had wardrobe on Tuesday. I shot Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and I was in Toronto to shoot, to do wardrobe on Saturday. The only reason that's interesting is because when actors can put blinders on and just stay in it, stuff starts to happen. When you can't come up for air and you just stay in the bobs in that room, interviewing all those jackasses who came into the room, and just, you know, whether it's the Michael Bolton stuff, all these great actors coming in, and you just stay in it and you start to find a rhythm. And Mike's all for those characters were roughly drawn. And so you could bring all the flavor you wanted to. And I did. And I know there was an there was a making of Office Space, and the people over at 20th Century were losing their minds the amount of film I was burning because I had a lot of different ideas.
Including what would you say you do here?
Yes. Yes.
That was yours?
Most of it was mine. And
what would you say you do here?
And that actor is so great, and he didn't know it was coming. And Dave Harmon, who plays Michael Bolton, I'm telling him I'm a fan of the whole guy's whole catalog. And you know, what's going on? And so that's what I mean. The actors weren't acting. They were behaving. So it reduced the profundity of the lie. I'm not a downsizer.
Yeah.
But I can take the piss out of anybody. And so that's what I started to do with those actors. And so it starts to resonate. Before we go, what are the Giants doing at 5?
Yes.
And I know we already signed a D-back. We spent 2 D-backs and that linebacker, which I like. Do you go to Ohio State and get one more D-back?
No. You go to Ohio State, you get that receiver.
You get the receiver.
State. Yeah. You get the receiver. That's what I think the Giants should do. But taking receiver at 5 is always dicey. But, I mean,
Styles? Are they the kid?
I don't know. That defense is not what they need to. They need to get Jackson Dart some weapons. They just lost Wandale Robinson.
Can I ask one question? I know you guys broached it the other day, but when I was listening, I wanted to ask you in person.
Yeah.
Why not put Cam and Love in the same backfield?
I always want. Listen,
I know, Chris, you had some ideas on that, too.
I like that a lot.
Well, again,
I do, too.
He's not going to be there, though, maybe.
Oh.
He
might go 4.
If he's available, the Giants are going to – if the Giants have their choice, which is possible, where – let's mock it out. Look at us. It'll be Fernando Mendoza 1.
Of course.
The Jets will take a defender. It could be Reese Bailey or
Styles.
Or Styles. 3, it's Arizona could do anything. They could go Love. I doubt it. They could also go Styles or whoever the Jets don't take on defense. Or they could take the Miami left tackle, Mauinoa. That might be their move, okay?
What if the Miami tackle's there
for the Giants? That's not a bad choice either, but I think they have to go offense, man. They have to. And again, I am a Michigan Wolverine, and that kid Carnell Tate is a beast. He is an absolute beast. And if you want to take something from the fruit of a football vine, you take a wide receiver from Ohio State. You're not going to – more often than not, you are not going wrong. You're just not. And then so
– Love's there, you don't take him.
If Love's there, you got to think about it. But Scataboo is going to come back hopefully just as strong as ever. No, I just don't
like
think –
Like you guys were talking about the other day, you want him carrying 28 times?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. And so you could do a lot with both of them. You could really go to town with both of them.
I love when Jimmy Kahn, rest in peace, calls his front line the 7 blocks of silly putty in Brian's song. Do the Giants have the 7 blocks of silly putty?
I don't believe so.
You do not?
Of 7 blocks of what, up front? Up front? I don't know. I just don't think a line. I think you can get more bang for your buck at a quote-unquote skill position than a lineman in this draft. At fifth overall and never pick up there again. Don't do it again. You got the right coach. I love the coach. My God, do I love the coach. And he's going 100%. In there basically saying the way you've been doing things since the Duke on the football, you need to rethink a couple things. And the Giants are like, okay, floor's yours. So he's really changing some things in that
organization. I think
organization.
It's going to be a whole culture shift.
I think it is too. And
our mutual friend Joshy Charles was dying.
Oh, he's not
when Harbaugh.
But I think your G-men are going to be better, for sure. And I would go with a big player, a big time boom. That's what I would do.
What constitutes a big player?
Carnell Tate, uh-huh. Jeremiah Love. Those are the two. Those are two guys who can really alter your.
Not the Ohio culture. State defense people.
You got enough of that, though.
You got enough of that,
don't you?
Just got. You just bought two guys. Plus the linebacker.
Enough of that. You already got the front seven kind of handled, I feel. And then there's the rest of the draft, too. You know, it's great to see you. Let's do this more often.
I'm not afraid of you.
I love you, John C. McGinley. Rooster airs Sundays, 10 p.m. Eastern on HBO. Check it out. New episodes of Scrubs back again on Wednesdays on ABC, streaming the next day on Hulu, just to name two. Great to see you, John C. McGinley. You the man.
Nice to be included.
Awesome. John C. McGinley here on The Rich Eisen Show. Back to wrap up this program. Send you to the weekend in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show, get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event right now and get away with a deal so right it almost feels wrong, because right now you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid or the Tucson or the Tucson Hybrid. On top of it, there's the bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech, and you can go all electric if you wish. With the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you will love. During the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. Already been going back and forth with some of my Wolverine friends during the commercial break.
About? I bet.
You know, about biting nails against the Ohio State. And I just wrote, survive. And advance. It is that time of year.
A little close for comfort, though, right?
Page already turned, sir.
Who's up next?
Wisconsin or Illinois, which is the game that's going on right now.
Right. At zero. All right. I admire your professionalism, because I know you were peeping the score as the second hour was going on, and you never let on.
Well, I mean, I know the Ohio State friends had a text all ready to hit the send on, and then they deleted it. That I know. Nothing would have made Ohio State fans and my friends that much more happy. Nothing's more delicious to them than to take Michigan out in the first shot at the Big Ten tournament.
Were the bubbles up in the group chat?
I didn't notice.
They hit him with five shots and he's still alive.
That's right. Thank you.
He's still alive.
Salazzo.
The bubbles were up.
The bubbles were up. I didn't notice. Doesn't matter. But they're not. They're not on the bubble. They should make it. They're 20. They have 21 wins and they're good, man.
Yeah.
So. Lenardi's like, the SEC is going to have the most teams. Get out of here. Get out of with this nonsense. The Big Ten is the best basketball conference, hands down.
Wait a second. Are you questioning Mr. Brackett?
I am.
Dr. Brackett?
Oh, I don't have. I know I don't have. I know I don't have a lab coat.
Lab coat.
Yeah. I'm not questioning him. He knows the bracketology. He knows college sports is a Southeast bias. End of story. Mm. It's an East Coast bias in professional sports and a Southeast bias in college sports.
Give you that.
That said, the Big Ten has not won. I think Michigan State's the last Big Ten champion in college basketball.
Oh, whoa.
I think Izzo's last. I think Mateen Cleaves.
25 years ago? No.
Yeah.
Really?
I think so. I think Mateen Cleaves and Izzo's Spartans were the last Big Ten team to win it all and cut down the nets.
Florida, UConn a couple times, Kansas, Baylor.
Keep going.
Virginia, Nova, UNC, Nova.
Yep, yep. Keep going.
Duke, Connecticut, Louisville, Kentucky, Connecticut, Duke.
Keep going.
UNC, Kansas, Florida, UNC, Connecticut, Cuse, Maryland. Well, Maryland wasn't in the Big Ten.
Not yet. Nope. Right? That's right.
02. Mm-hmm. Duke. Yeah, Michigan State, last Big Ten.
That's it.
2000.
There you go.
Wow.
I know. It's been a long time.
Dang.
it's been a long time. They started off the century going, hey, this is going to be a great century. And then a quarter way through, nothing yet.
By the way, and before that.
Are they wrong?
Wrong, I don't know.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Oh, you got it.
Wrong, 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 wrong.
Great new drop from John C. McGinley. I love it.
And before that,
look
Indiana.
At you. You're trying to work it in there, Jay. Well done.
I was like, we're up against it.
Before that, Indiana was Keith Smart.
In 87, wow. Keith Smart. So that's two Big Ten champs in 40 years.
It's time, man.
Dang.
It's time. See, everyone in the Big Ten, just root for Michigan. Your best chance.
Yeah.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Nice new drop. Way to take that for a new spin.
Yep.
That new drop for a spin. That drop's only 20 minutes old.
That's funny. Yeah.
Not even.
We work quick around here, G.
All right, everybody. Survive an advanced weekend has finally arrived. We'll chat with you on Monday.
Nice.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.